What's up, everybody? It's the time for another edition of The Throwback. This is your host, Ryan the Podman, and I'm actually joined again by...
Jimmy the Radio Man, Daddy.
We have a very special guest on the program today. Former star of the hit popular TV show Saved by the Bell and world-famous musician Ed Alonzo will be joining us to talk about his career and the recent launch of the Saved by the Max Diner that just launched back in May.
I'm looking forward to it, Daddy. This man is very talented. He used to do all those cool magic tricks and has a very cool career. I'm excited to hear what he has to say, Daddy.
You know, Jimmy, it's really good seeing you. The last time we heard from you, you were lost on some nature trail, being chased by some bear. What the hell happened?
Let me tell you something here, Daddy. That damn bear was trying to make a snack out of me. I was running for my life until I found this porta potty and ran inside and locked the door so that big bear wouldn't come after me.
Oh, you ran into a porta potty for safety? You know, I guess that was a smart idea.
It was a smart idea until that big old bear started getting mad and tried to claw his way in. And then when that didn't work, he tipped the whole thing over with me inside.
Wait, this big dangerous bear tipped over the porta potty with you inside it?
Yeah, that was a messy situation, Daddy. I couldn't get out for 2 hours until some park ranger found me and helped me out.
You were locked inside a porta potty for over 2 hours and you're alive to tell about it? You know, that's nice the park ranger found you at least.
Actually, he wasn't so nice. He was upset. He had to spend his whole lunch break helping me out. He mumbled something about missing the chicken and grits lunch special at the Waffle House, Daddy.
Well, it was really good seeing you this time again, Jimmy. But like we said, folks, we have a great show lined up for you today. If you want to listen to other great exclusive interviews, be sure to check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio, AudioBoom, or blogtalkradio.com/throwback for other great interviews. We also want to hear from you, our listeners. Drop us a tweet at ThrowPodcast or email us at ThrowPodcast, ThrowPodcast@gmail.com and give us your feedback. Now here's our exclusive interview with famous musician and Saved by the Bell star Ed Alonzo.
You are listening to The Throwback Podcast, your stop for everything 90s. This is a Throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time is best known for playing Max on the hit TV show Saved by the Bell, and is also a world-famous musician. I'm pleased to welcome Ed Alonzo. Ed, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming on. You've been a very busy man lately. How was the grand opening of the Saved by the Max pop-up diner?
It was really fantastic. You know, a year and a half ago, they originally opened in Chicago, and they had posted on Saved by the Bell Food Restaurant, and I hit like on the Facebook. And the next thing you know, they were contacting me to, be their mascot. And so they flew me out to Chicago, and I did the grand opening there, and a lot of press for them. And it was a big success. It was only supposed to be there for a couple of months, and it ended up being there for, a little over a year. And now they packed it up, and they moved it out here to Los Angeles. And we had the big grand opening and the ribbon cutting ceremony and the great turnout, and they're now sold out all the way through pretty much the end of the year.
Wow, that's pretty cool. We'll touch on the Saved by the Max pop-up diner a little later, but tell us, how did you first get into the entertainment business? Was it something you always wanted to do as a kid?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was always putting on shows for friends in the neighborhood or for family members when they came over to the house, puppet shows, magic shows, whatever I could do. And then, once I started in school, I took music lessons and played the trumpet. So I was always dabbling in some kind of, music or entertainment of some sort.
Right.
And then I just kind of, kept the magic going. And after I graduated from high school, I worked in radio for a little bit. And then, graduated on to auditioning for commercials and TV shows and... that things would pop up. I'd get little jobs, commercials here and there. And then in 1989, I auditioned for Saved by the Bell.
That's pretty cool. What would you say you enjoy more, acting or being a musician?
I really like the acting. The magic is so much work because you're not only the performer, you're the producer, the director, the choreographer, the creator of the material. Sometimes you're building your own equipment. So it's a full-time job. It's like being a producer. And then you get on stage and you have to do this stuff and have material written and music edited. And with an acting job, you go in, you memorize your lines, you just focus on the character and acting with the other characters in the scene. So that's really a lot more fun, better focused, and a lot easier in the long run than traveling the world kicks in the case of that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Talk us through the process of how you landed the role of Max on Saved by the Bell. Like, how did you end up with that particular role?
Well, I had had a manager at the time, and he saw that they were looking for just kind of a character actor to play the owner of a diner on a new Saturday morning NBC show. So he submitted me into the mix, and somehow the casting director, I guess, liked what I looked like and brought me in, and I auditioned for her. And I remember that, the audition didn't go great. I was so nervous.
Oh, really?
But I dressed the part. I came in a full tuxedo with an apron and a little, chef's hat, one of those little paper hats like you see the guys in the kitchen wear.
Yeah.
I came in and I had a couple gags and props in my hand that I mixed in the side, that they had. And I remember, it was just, it didn't seem to go well. And the casting lady, Robin Lippin, she said to me, she says, "I don't know, that was not a great audition, but there's something about you. I want to bring you back and have you make it through the city."
Right.
So she said, "Work on the scene and come back." So they rescheduled me. I came back a few days later, and I went over there to go to Red Four. The producers are there, Peter Engel, Tom Kenwick, and I went in, and now I'd kind of rehearsed the thing, and it went over a lot better. And suddenly they were laughing in the room, and then they brought in one of the other producers. They wanted to have Marissa Gobbins look at what I was doing, so they had her come in, and she enjoyed it. And the next thing they were bringing me back and prepping me to try and get the role of Max. They had narrowed it down now to two characters, and then Brandon Tartikoff was going to be the guy to choose. So about a week later, I came back, and in the audition halls of the offices, there were two characters that they were casting, because, the original Saved by the Bell was Good Morning, Miss Blynn. And once that show was canceled and NBC purchased it, and they changed it to Saved by the Bell, and they changed some characters.
Yeah.
So they were going to add the Slater character, and they were going to add the two other girls, Tiffany Amberthis, and they were going to add the Kelly character, and then they were going to add Max, and then they were going to add Elizabeth Berkley. Was the other one. Now, people are out there screaming, there's Jesse. So anyway, so there's two Jesse's in the hallway, and two Kellys, and two Slaters, and two Maxes, and each one of us have to go in and audition now for Brandon Tartikoff and Peter Engel and a whole group of people in a room with clipboards.
Right.
And I was the last one to go in. They brought the other guy who they had looked at for Max, and he went in and they closed the door. And I remember getting down on my hands and knees and trying to listen under the door to his audition, because I wanted to know who was going to end up with the job and why. And I could hear them really laughing and they're loving, and I thought, oh, that's it, I'm done for. So I got out of the way in time. They opened the door and the guy came out. He was all smiles. And then they called me in. And I walked into the room and I stood there, and they said, "Okay, are you ready to read the sides?" And I said, "Yeah, give me just a second." And I had one of those paper hats on again, the diner hat.
Right.
And I pulled off the paper hat and I took a big breath of air and blew it into the hat, and the hat poofed out with the little wax paper top, just poofed out. And Brandon Tartikoff said, "Oh, I'm so glad you did that, because now we can see your hair." And of course, I was already sporting that kind of tall, curly hair for the audition. So I left the hat off at that point, and everyone laughed in the room. I did my audition and left, and the next day on my answering machine was a call from Peter Engel congratulating me that I had the role of Max.
Oh, that's awesome. It all worked out in the end.
Yeah.
Do you know the inspiration for the creation of the diner, like the Max Diner? Because it had such a unique look for that time.
It did. There was a restaurant in Chicago called At the Bevex, and it was like a 50s diner. And they had all these character waiters and waitresses in there. So they would have big silly wigs and glasses with tape in the center of them, and pocket protectors with way too many pens in their shirt pocket. So it was this kind of a place. And the waiter would sit down and kind of goof around with you as he or she would take your order. And then every once in a while, they'd play some music in there, and everyone would get on the counters and do the twist or whatever song.
Oh, wow.
It was that kind of place.
Oh, okay.
And I got to hang out there a lot, and I loved it. They had put one of the franchises out here in California, in Beverly Hills.
Right.
And I used to go all the time because it was a great place to get hamburgers and shakes and just watch all the zaniness.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of where the same thing happened for Peter Engel. He'd been to these diners and thought that would be a great fun place for the kids at Bayside to hang out in. And that was the inspiration for the Max.
Awesome. How was it like working with the rest of the cast from Saved by the Bell? Were you guys like good friends with a lot of the cast behind the scenes?
We really were. They were all pretty young. All the kids were either 15 and about to turn 16, and then Dustin Diamond was the young one. He was 12, back in 1989. And then Dennis Haskins was the principal, Mr. Belding. But yeah, we all got along great. I remember times where when Mark Pollock had his learner's permit, we went out in the parking lot at NBC, and we would practice in my car, driving around in parallel parking and such. Yeah, so those were, the kind of fun times where we'd run across the street, all of us, and grab a lunch at the rear schnitzel. And so, yeah, it was really a fun time. And, nobody was a star, so we were just all there just having fun and trying to make the best of a crazy show that was handed to us.
That's cool. Do you have a particular favorite episode you enjoy doing the most?
My favorite one has to be called Dancing to the Max. That's the famous Casey Kasem episode.
That's my favorite one, too.
And I love that one. And it was so exciting for us because Casey Kasem at that time was just huge. I mean, he was, is bigger, and it's not bigger than Brian Seacrest today.
Yeah.
The radio and television with his Top 40 show. And so when he came into the room for the table reading, it was just amazing. And to then be on the show with him. And I think that's my favorite one because all the kids get up and they dance the spring with the dance contest and just there's good energy and good costumes.
That was a good episode. I like the other one where Save the Max would have had the fundraisers to Save the Max because it was going to go out of business or something.
Yeah, Save the Max. Now, at that point, I had already kind of left the show, and then they were bringing me back doing, guest starring roles, and that was one of my first ones. They decided to change up the Max a little bit, and so I came back to do the fundraiser episode. But yeah, that was really a great one as well, but nothing beats that Dance into the Max with Casey. That was great.
That's awesome. So, how come the Max character was written off the show after two seasons? Because it was like one of the most popular recurring characters on there at the time.
Yeah, well, what had happened was I had felt that Max wasn't being, really utilized as much on the show. I would get the script the week before and I would see that I would only have one or two very small scenes, and then mostly I would be doing kind of a magic trick. And so I would kind of go to the writers and Peter Engel and say, hey, I want to do a little bit more, like, give me a little bit of stretching room here. And they were really wanting to focus more on the kids, on the high school chaos that they could create and doing things like that. And the Max is more of a place where they would come and hang out a little bit and get a laugh and then jump back to, at a message So I think that it was the combination of both things that I was super, super happy with, you know, spending a whole week rehearsing and hanging around and really had the smallest part of the whole, you know, main cast. So I went off to another show on the Fox Network called Totally Hidden Video, where I was able to be sort of in disguise in different roles,
right,
and, you know, working in on a hidden camera show. But then I would go back, as I said, and do those guest starring roles on Saved by the Bell. And those were always a little juicier and meatier, so it just made more sense.
Yeah.
And it all turned out great.
That's good. You know, a few years later after Saved by the Bell, there was the Saved by the Bell, the new class, and there was an episode on there where the Max actually burned down. How did you feel about that?
Right.
About that? How did you feel about that?
Well, I thought, well, I guess I'm not going to be going back and doing any more guest starring roles. At that time, you know, when the new class came out, I think there were only a few original characters left on there. Everyone had kind of left the show and gone on to other things. I think Tiffany was already on Line Up 210, and, you know, other things were starting to pop for the kids. So I didn't feel too bad, and I knew that it was a good storyline for them, but I didn't make it personal.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a musician, who were some of your favorite musicians that inspired you?
Well, when I was a kid, the only magic on TV was a guy named Mark Wilson, who had the Magic Circus show that was on every weekend. And it was kind of a variety show where he would come out and do big, giant stage illusions and make his wife, Nani Darnell, appear, and his son, Greg Wilson, was on the series, and they would all be part of it. It was just a good, fun family show to watch. Then the Pillsbury Doughboy was the sponsor,
yeah.
And, you know, he was a three-dimensional guy that Mark Wilson would interact with going into the commercial breaks. And it was a little tiny puppet, and it was just so great, you know. That was back in the 70s, and, you know, there were the technical aspects for puppetry and animatronics weren't as elaborate as they are today. And just the things that they were doing, operating this little rod puppet, were amazing. So those things always fascinated me, with watching the puppets and watching the magic. And, of course, later came Doug Henning, who had a great special every year on NBC. And he was the more hippie-type character with the long hair and the little mustache and beard and the kind of rainbow set pieces and magic coming from. And he was a great inspiration because he just made magic fun again for everyone. And then, of course, not long after, David Copperfield, who is slick and smooth and telling great stories with magic. And I think David is probably my favorite still to this day.
Yeah, he's pretty good. You actually, we already touched this on a little bit earlier, but you said you were on tour with Britney Spears several years ago performing. How did you end up with that gig? And how much did you enjoy it?
Well, it was great. I originally had been a guest star on the Mickey Mouse Club, the new Mickey Mouse Club. And when the episode aired, I was able to now see all the cast members. And Britney was in there, Justin Timberlake, others. So that was my first time to sort of be aware of who Britney Spears was. And then fast forward later to when she put her first album out called Baby One More Time, and she was appearing at the Universal Amphitheater. And I wanted to take my daughter to see her. And so I was able to hook up a backstage pass. And my wife, and just before the show, we had to meet, you know, 16-year-old Britney, and then they escorted us into the theater. And, you know, so I was a fan of her first month before. That was 2009. She was my first comeback tour. And the director wanted to put the magician segment in the show. So the company that was building the set piece for them had worked with me and asked me to go in and write a whole number of this year's show for the circus tour. So I went, met with them, and kind of heard what music they wanted to use for the number. And then I came up with the ideas for what the kids would be, and Then I went in and presented the number to them and actually performed it with another girl who was kind of a Britney Spears type of lookalike. And we did the magic number, and Britney and Larry Rudolph watched the number, and they absolutely loved it. They said, we want to use that in the show, but and we also want you to go on the tour and play the part of the music. So that was just amazing. And, you know, so for the next year, we traveled all over the world and in the United States. You know, with the first part of the tour, starting in New Orleans and traveling around. And then we took a little break and then went over to England and Russia and Australia. It was just fantastic. Wow. What a great fun tour. And to be able to be on stage with her every night, sawing her in half and making her appear and disappear as she sang to me and taunted me and you know, drew me in with her special magic that she does on stage. And it was great. It was great fun. It was a real good number of the show. You can see it on YouTube if you look for Britney Spears Circus. And the song is called Ooh, Ooh, Baby.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. You were also scheduled to work with Michael Jackson on his This Is It tour right before he died. How'd you end up with a working relationship with Michael Jackson?
Well, back in 1989, Michael had seen me on the Arsenio Hall show and contacted the agent I was with and asked if I could come out to his house and do a big magic show. And we were told that he had a whole theater there with his stage, curtains, and everything. So we scheduled a show and went out to Neverland Valley. And we rehearsed all day long. And then they said, okay, well, Michael wants to come over and just look at the equipment and see everything. We said, okay, great. And they asked us to step into his dance studio to the side while he came over and checked everything. So we waited in the dance studio, which is really cool. It was full of chairs and a great sound system, the great dance floors with a ballet bar, nice big space for him to work out. So we were able to drive him to this place that we're in. And he gets out and he goes into the theater. About a minute, looks at everything, and I guess he's happy with the size of the equipment that we brought and everything. And then he drives back over to, you know, another place on the property where he lived in another house there. So that was it. So now we get ready for the show, and the show starts, the curtain opens up, and they produce me out of a box, and I'm standing there on stage with dancers behind me, and I look out, and it's just Michael and two kids and their parents behind them.
That's it, huh?
So it's about 8 or 9 people sitting there in this big theater that he had. But he was the best audience ever and clapped along and laughed at all the jokes, and it was a good fun time. So that was my first experience, you know, working with him.
Yeah.
And then in 2009, when he announced that this was going to be it, and he was putting his final concert together to appear at the O2 Theater in London. The same company that was building sets for him contacted me again and said, Michael wants to meet with you, and he wants to talk about creating a couple numbers in the show. So they scheduled a meeting, and I went in with Michael and Kenny Ortega for a meeting, and Michael described kind of what he wanted in the show. And we met for probably a half hour. That was our first meeting. And I came back and I started to show him demonstrate some of the things he did it for. And we did that for the next 2 weeks. And then we led us up to the time where we were rehearsing at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. And the last 2 or 3 nights there, getting able to correct everything we were just doing. Took it all to London. And, of course, that was the one of the final rehearsals that we had, and then Michael was gone the next day.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was it like seeing Michael perform live up and close and personal like that? Like, you were right there with him.
Well, it was really fantastic. It was just amazing, and it's so sad that he wasn't able to get out and do the concert, because people would have just loved it. He was in great shape and was doing the best of all of his gimmicks and gags and special effects with big giant puppets, and you know, I think I'm going to be in the film biography unfortunately, we never had them shoot any of the magic with the cameras because I didn't want them to accidentally expose anything that would maybe come out later on the DVD or something. You know, we didn't know that Michael was going to be gone a few days later. Looking back, I wish I had some of that footage now. But yes, I had always asked the camera crew to not be there while we were rehearsing with Michael's magic.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, he was learning the things and they were just going through the effect. He was just great to work with and to watch from just a few feet away. I remember one of my first meetings with him, I did a little demonstration of a floating spear that he wanted, and it floated all around the room in this rehearsal hall. And then afterwards, he said, how long will it take you to, gather up your equipment? And I said, just a few minutes. And he said, would it be okay if I did my sign check while you're cleaning up? And I said, absolutely. And so I stood just a foot away from Michael as he started to sing, "You Are Not Alone." And it was just an incredible experience I'll never forget.
Wow. That's incredible. What's your favorite Michael Jackson song?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I mean, which songs are not my favorite? But Thriller, I think, is definitely one of my all-time favorites, because that's the one that really put MTV and music video, to make them what they are today, with giant budgets and, their short feature films. And Michael started all that. So, yeah.
That really set the bar, yeah. As a performer, what are some of your favorite magic tricks to perform for when you're on stage live? Like, what are some of your favorites to do?
I like to do stuff. Most of my magic is kind of pretty funny. So I have a really fun routine where I bring out a Hellman's card. You can get a hotel and I have two dresses on there. I have a red dress and a blue dress. And I get two gentlemen from the audience. And I asked them to choose a dress. So one guy picks the red dress, one guy picks the blue dress. So now I go over and I stand right in front of this Hellman's card, and you can see all the way around it. There's nothing here, no curtains. And I hold up a little tiny curtain in front of me, just so maybe a couple of feet wide. And I raise it up and then down. And as I lower it, you see that there's a young lady there standing in the blue dress, and she walks over, puts her arms around the guy who shoots the blue dress, and escorts him off stage back to his seat.
Oh, wow.
So now I have the red dress remaining there, and one volunteer is left, and I do the same thing. I open my little pit, and I raise it and later, and when I drop the curtain, the dress is gone from the Bellman's part, and I'm wearing the red dress. And I go over, my arms around the volunteer, and escort him back to his seat.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
Yeah. Fix the blue dress.
Wow. So, if fans are interested in seeing you perform, where would they have to go?
Wow. All over the place. You can see me on Friday nights on the CW. Masters of Illusion. I'm on about half of the episodes that air in the season, so you can catch those on TV. Of course, all the reruns are Saved by the Bell. But the live show, every October, I do a big giant Halloween production show with singers and dancers for the Cedar Fair Company, and they move me around to their different theme parks where they have their annual Halloween fun event, which is just a huge Halloween event where they have monster movies and special effects and comedy Halloween magic show every year. So the company moves me around to their different parks, which they have all over the country. And so this next year, I'll be back in Santa Clara, California, at their park called Great America. But in the past, I've been at Valley Fair in Minneapolis and a bunch of other parks that they have. They have a couple of parks in Ohio. All of their parks. That's very fun. I've been in California for several years. Those are the best things for me. Every once in a while, I actually visit the Magic Castle in Hollywood in multiple weeks. But most of the other things I'm doing are, you know, either perfect demos or they're in other countries. You know, like I'll go to Malaysia for 2 or 3 months and do a production show there, and then over to China, to Germany, I do an annual Christmas show there. So you really have to kind of, you know, just get lucky and hope that, that I'm in your neighborhood.
Yeah. Is there a website fans can catch you on to get more information?
Yeah, you can always check eventalonzo.com, and it's on the schedule page there, which I think is usually up to date. But there's a lot of fun pictures to see of shows and a whole page of video links to see mini performances and long performances and a lot of other crazy things that I've been involved with over the years for TV and movies. So yeah, edalonzo.com. And then, you know, like my other business as a part-time is that I, you know, like I said, I create magic for artists like Michael Jackson and Usher and Katy Perry. So I have a consulting company where we create magic and special effects for TV, movies, and stage shows, rock concerts. I did a lot of the magic effects for Neil Patrick Harris when he did, you know, the show on Netflix, the American Horror Story,
yeah. The
freak show. And he played a quirky ventriloquist magician who kind of snaps and turns crazy. But along the way, he's done a lot of flourishes and magic tricks before sawing his assistant in half and killing her. I'm behind the scenes usually teaching him or pulling the cables or whatever is necessary to make the magic happen. So you can always look at those kind of effects on TVMagicConsultant.com. That's okay. The other website.
Awesome. So let's go back to the Saved by the Max Diner. Whose idea was this to start up?
A couple of two or three guys in Chicago put things together. They were just Saved by the Bell fans. And they thought that it would be interesting if they could get some kind of a licensing agreement with NBC to produce a Saved by the Bell restaurant, the Max, that would be an exact replica of the one on the show. So somehow they did get an agreement with NBC Productions, and they put this thing together in Chicago. They announced it on Rumble Media before they even had a location, just to try and pre-sell it. And the first couple of hours that the thing was online, the thing was going crazy. They were booking the tickets left and right, and they started to sell the thing out for months and months ahead before they even put the restaurant, you know, in its place there. So obviously that was a sign that this was going to be a success and that they needed to move forward with it. And now I think the plan is that they'll stay here in L.A. for a while, maybe a year or two, and that they'll then have other pop-up locations around the country where you know, Saved by the Max restaurant could be coming to you.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome. They don't have to travel all the way to L.A. if they can. They can have it right closer to them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it should be here for a couple of years. And after that, who knows, maybe one in Las Vegas would be fun. I'd love to see one in Toronto.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah. So what should fans expect when visiting this pop-up diner?
Well, you walk into the place, and if you're a big fan of Saved by the Bell, it's going to blow your mind because it really is an exact duplicate of what you watched all those years with Screech and Zach and Kelly and Slater hanging out at the Max. And when you're there, you not only feel the fun energy that, you know, we had on the show, but the food is, you know, just fantastic, as I mentioned before. And every once in a while, they schedule me to make an appearance there. So you never know when Max himself could walk up to your table, deliver your food, and surprise you with a trick or two.
Oh, wow. Never know, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
never know. Yeah, they schedule them, not to announce them. But you just never know when Max is going to pop there. And I take the big applause meter. So as I walk in, the applause meter is going up and up and up that I turn around And then I do a couple of tricks and walk around and take selfies with everybody. And it just makes a great fun time for when you face two years.
That's awesome. You know, I was looking at the pictures of the setup, and there's actually a Mr. Buildings office in the Saved by the Max as well. The fans are interested in that.
There is. That's a great idea. What they had is they had so much space in the property that they're in. They decided to put up a full, replica of Mr. Belding's office. And basically what they utilize this room for is it's a banquet type room for private parties or, special celebrity guests that are going to come in that maybe want a little more privacy to where they can kind of close it off and still experience the Saved by the Bell atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, that makes a great room there. And you never know, a lot of times Mr. Belding actually pops in and makes a few appearances as well. So between Dennis Haskins and myself, you never know who you're going to run into.
Something to look forward to. So where can fans find tickets if they're interested in going to this?
I believe you just go online to SavedByTheMax.com. And they also have a Facebook page, a Saved by the Max Facebook page. Those are the two quickest ways to get there. But you got to get hooked up with it right away because the thing is, like I said, sold out pretty much through the end of the year now. So I think they're getting ready to start a whole new, what they're going to call, another semester. The second semester will open up for tickets going on from November through next year.
Wow. So any final words before we wrap this up?
Well, I just want to thank you again for having me on the show, and we love that all the Saved by the Bell fans are still out there and watching the show on Hulu and Netflix and MyTV and all the places that it's carried. And next year, of course, is the big 30th anniversary of Saved by the Bell. Can you believe that?
Yeah, nice. It's been 30 years, so like every generation is getting hooked on Saved by the Bell. Like, yeah, I have nephews.
Yeah,
and like 2016,
30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I can't believe that that people are still watching it, and the kids that grew up watching it, now their kids are watching it. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Okay, Ed Alonso, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed our interview with Ed Alonso. He has had a very interesting career in life, wouldn't you say, Jimmy?
Yeah, Daddy. He has some pretty good stuff. I think he's awesome that he performed for Britney Spears and did a magic show for Michael Jackson. He's one pretty cool cat. I'm having cravings. I'm craving me a Max Burger right now. I wish I could go to that Saved by the Max dinner right now and grab me one, but I'm going to have to wait until I get back.
What do you... Wait, hold on a second. What do you mean, get back? You just came back from a camping trip. Where are you going now?
Let me tell you here something, Daddy. I got a family reunion I'm going to next month, and I can't make the next episode.
How come you're telling me this now? You mean I'm going to be solo again?
Sorry, I've been meaning to tell you. Oh, by the way, my older cousin that's coming can't bring her little 18-month-old son to that reunion, Daddy. So you're going to have to babysit him.
What, me? Why do I have to babysit him? It's not my kid.
Oh, because my family loves you. I think you are the right guy for the job.
I haven't even met or know your family, so what the...
Oh, they know you're the host of this show, and that's good enough for them, Daddy. Oh, by the way, Daddy, my little cousin has something in common with a little summer from back in the day. Let's just say, Daddy Mama.
What? Oh, you can't be serious.
Oh, I'm very serious, Daddy. Just you wait.
Oh, boy. Anyways, folks. On our next edition of The Throwback, we have a very special guest lined up for all you fans of the movie, Billy Madison. Ms. Lippy herself, Dana Pilatus, will be our special guest to share stories and talk about her role as Ms. Lippy in the iconic movie.
Too bad I'm going to have to miss that. I love that movie. But just wait for my little cousin. You and all these great people listening are going to love him.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm going to come to the next show myself. Oh, anyways, folks, remember to send us a tweet at ThrowPodcast. Or to email at throwpodcast, THRWpodcast@gmail.com, and give us your feedback. Until next time.
Not the mama.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.